together. So we're going to do that next week, and we invite you to bring soup, salad, bread, any of those, or a combination of all three. A dessert as well, adding a fourth one in there, to share with everyone else. So please plan on staying for that fun time of fellowship together and a time of yummy food together. What's happening at our church this week? So many ministries and Bible studies are happening. Please do check your bulletins for the days and the times that they're all happening, so that you can prayerfully consider how the Lord is calling you to get involved in church life here. We do need cookie donations for our Thursday cookie ministry. So if you feel so led to donate, that would be appreciated. And then also the men's group that's meeting on Saturday, it starts at 9 o'clock. So just a couple of things to note. And then some prayer needs, of course. We want to bring that to our church family to lift up in prayer. Kat, the McClure family, her extended family, her mom, Jennifer, as they grieve the loss of Kat's dad this past week. So just keep them in your prayers, church family. Plans are underway for that service to remember an extraordinary man. So pray that all those plans come together beautifully, and that it would just celebrate again an incredible man. So please remember them. And also, we're so grateful to be worshiping with our brothers and sisters in Christ from the Alameda Korean Church. And please know that we are lifting you up in prayer as well, and Mrs. Park, as you grieve the loss of Elder Daniel Park. And Pastor Matt would like to share more about his memorial service.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so congregation, you are invited to come and join Alameda Korean Church in the celebration of life of Daniel Park on Thursday at 4 p.m. At 21228 Redwood Road, Castor Valley. That is the mortuary. Jess, hold on. I had the name, and then I lost it. What's the name of the mortuary, Pastor Andrew? Yes. If you have questions, you can contact me. Yes. I can't find the name of it. But the address is 21228, 4 p.m. Thank you. Thank you, Spencer Mortuary in Castor Valley. Thank you.
All right, so just to reiterate, Thursday, 4 o'clock, Spencer Mortuary in Castor Valley will be the memorial service for Elder Daniel Park, and we hope that you can join us in remembering him. And then, of course, keep little Gia in your prayers as she undergoes treatments for cancer. And there are other prayer requests in the bulletin, so please do refer to your bulletin for the additional prayer requests. And now I would like to invite the praise team forward. They're going to lead us in worship this morning. And if you would please stand, if you are able, for our call to worship. And our call to worship comes from Psalm 96. And if you would please respond with the words in yellow. Just technical difficulties, it's okay. It's all right. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell him
his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He
feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, your strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord to his name, bring an offering and come to his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor and holiness, tremble before him all the earth.
And again, how wonderful, whether joys or challenges or grief or sorrow that we face, God is faithful to walk beside us through it all. And may we always choose to praise him.
Praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a song. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to pray. God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I'm gonna praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I'm gonna praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. dead in my sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. Hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. Welcome me in. Call me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Singing hallelujah, there's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. Welcome me in. Call me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. It really is amazing grace. Hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. Welcome me in. Call me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah.
Thank you to our praise band
for sharing your gifts of music. We appreciate you.
Who has numbered every grain?
The Lord greets you this morning and he says, peace and grace and love be yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our call to confession, the litany from the Ten Commandments. So give me one moment and you will be responsible for the yellow. Yes, I'm getting older. Aw, I know, isn't he? The congregation's like, he's so cute. He says he's old. All right, so this is the litany from the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I sincerely acknowledge the only true God. Trust him alone, look to him for every good thing, humbly and patiently, and love him, fear him, and honor him with all my heart. In short, I will give up anything rather than go against God's will in any way. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. I will in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I will use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that I may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything I do and say. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. I will regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Every day of my life I will rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in my through the Holy Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. I will honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. I will obey and submit to them as is proper. When they correct and punish me, and I will be patient with their failings. For through them God chooses to rule us. You shall not murder. I will not belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor. Not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gestures. I certainly not by actual deeds. And I will not be party to this in others. Rather, I will put away all desire for revenge. I will not harm or recklessly endanger myself either. You shall not commit adultery. God condemns all unchastity. I, therefore, thoroughly detest it and will live a decent and chaste life. You shall not steal. I will do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, treating others as I would like them to treat me, and I will work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. I will love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I will do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. With all my heart, I will always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. O most high and merciful God, who hears the prayers of the humble, I come before your throne of grace, confessing my utter unworthiness. I am stained with sin, and my heart is prone to wander from your holy ways. My thoughts, words, and deeds have often dishonored you, and I have failed to love you with all my heart or my neighbor as myself. I acknowledge my transgressions, not with despair, but with hope in your boundless grace. You are the God who hears prayer, who delights in the cries of your people. I cast myself upon your mercy, trusting in the righteousness of Christ my Savior. Forgive me, O Lord, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let your Spirit work in me that I may walk in your truth and glorify your holy name. Amen. Our assurance of that forgiveness and washing clean comes from our Catechism, the Heidelberg, question and answer 66. This is God's gospel promise to grant us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Holy Spirit, our God has overcome.
Thank you very much, praise team. We do, we believe, we trust, we entrust Jesus, our Savior, with all of that which we care for. Would you join with me in our prayer of the people? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for music that draws us into your presence, that causes us to reflect on your greatness, to spark in us, Lord, the memories of your faithful provision, so that we come rejoicing, we come praising, we come glorifying you, because you are worthy, O Lord, and you have demonstrated over and over again, that's making you a truly faithful God, that you are indeed worthy of our trust, and you alone. And so, Heavenly Father, we put into your care those that we love. We think of those that we love who are in assisted living homes. Arenda and Keiko and Winnie. Lord, we pray again and again that you would be the ever-present help in their time of trouble. That you, Holy Spirit, would remind them that you dearly love them. And that no matter where we are at, in an assisted living home, in rehab, in our house, or in a church, Lord, you have called us to worship you and enjoy you forever. I thank you, Lord, that that is not dependent on our circumstances, but is dependent solely on who you are, and that, Lord, never changes. So draw them, Lord, into that acknowledgement, that understanding of purpose that you have given to each of us to worship you and enjoy you forever. Heavenly Father, I lift up, Lord, Denise and her family, as her father, Lord, you continue to build strength in him after internal bleeding. Thank you, Lord, for stopping that. I thank you, Lord, for the doctors and surgeons that you have put into his life. And so I pray, Lord, that you would continue that good process of building strength and health, restoring him, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the therapists and the rehab center, that, Lord, it would be a blessing to him, an encouragement to him, a place, Lord, that he indeed could experience your renewal. And Heavenly Father, I lift up to you the Park family. I lift Park family, his friends. I lift up Alameda Korean Church to you, Lord. Your servant Daniel was a pillar, Lord, of the community. And both here at the church and also, Lord, in the Korean community in the Bay Area. Lord, he was generous. He was gregarious. He was, Lord, one who deeply loved you. And, Lord, we grieve our loss. We celebrate, Lord, his gain. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of your promises. We also, Lord, lift up the Chandlers to you. Lord, as we have to find the new normal without Phil, without husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, Lord, friend, remind us that you are a shepherd and that we, Lord, lean on you. And in these times of trouble and in these times of grief, we may run into you as our strong fortress. Again, Lord, we grieve our loss and we celebrate his gain. Help us, Lord, to continue to move through that faith journey. Heavenly Father, we also lift up Zeke to you. We pray healing for his ankle. I pray, Lord, that you would guard it against break and, Lord, it would be a simple sprain. We ask, Lord, for wisdom to the doctors to read the x-rays well, and we ask, Lord, for a quick healing. Lord, we also lift up Gia to you. We have, and Lord, rejoiced in the 3 months that you have given her cancer-free, and we ask, Lord, that you would grant her that again. Only you, Lord, you alone bring healing. You work through doctors and treatments. We long to see it, Lord. We pray for you to sustain and grant patience and endurance to her parents. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to hold them ever close. We pray, Lord, that your peace that transcends all understanding would continue to guard their hearts and their minds and keep them close to you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beginning of a busy school year and the busy church year. Lord, there have been many opportunities for us to continue to engage in your word and study it together, to learn who you are and, Lord, see your truth transform each one of us. We ask your continued blessing on the ministries that we have that have begun. We ask your blessing on the ministries that are yet to start. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use us to bring glory, honor, and praise to your name in our community here. Lord, I lift up to you our work project in January, that you would call those to serve who will serve. Thank you for preparing this way and for, Lord, giving us this opportunity. Continue, O gracious Heavenly Father, grant us the strength to serve well, the eyes to see the opportunities, and your wisdom to navigate them. Because, Lord, we desire to see you glorified. Glorified here, glorified in Alameda, in California, in the United States, and across the globe. Because you are worthy, O Lord. And to your glory I pray. Amen. At this time, I'll invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which is for our general fund here at Alameda CRC. right, you may be seated. Kids, you can come forward and we will do our children's message. Okay. Today, we're going to do Free to Trust. So I thought, what better example of trust than to dust off an oldie and a goodie? A trust fall. So I took the second lightest and smallest of my children, and I asked him, I said, would you be willing to be caught? And he said, all right. So, Tiernan, let me ask this question. Who do you trust to catch you? God? Okay. No. Who do you trust to catch you? Me and Dave? Okay. Anyone else? Layton? You trust Layton? He told you yesterday he wasn't going to catch you. Oh, he didn't mean that. Okay, Layton. Who else do you trust to catch you? Mom. Yeah. All right. Well, then we're going to catch you. Now, Tiernan has never done one of these before. You have. What? They didn't catch you? And you still agreed to this? Well, praise the Lord. Okay, well, come on right up on here. And then Layton and, well, you got to turn around. There you go. All right, Layton and Dave and Catherine here. You got to hold hands like this, right? All right, cross your arms and lean back. Oh! You did. That was terrifying. His face was terrified.
Yeah, totally.
But we caught you. Uh-huh. You did it. I'm so. Would you do another one? Would any of you do that? No.
I would do it.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about trust, and this is a vital part to relationship with one another, but especially with God. And if we have experienced being dropped by people in our life, it is hard to trust. It's hard to trust other people, and it's also hard to trust God. And when that happens, then we have no longer living in the freedom of Christ, but we are in the slavery of self-preservation. And we put up walls, and we put up guardrails, and we remove ourselves from relationships and from freedom. So I will pray for you, and then we'll get into the next bit. Heavenly Father, as we get into hearing your word speak to us about trusting you, about building trust with one another, and about the freedom that it brings us, Lord, may you, O God, ever transform our hearts, revealing more and more every day who you are. To your praise and glory forevermore. Amen. All right, you may go back to your seats. Thank you, Tiernan. I'm so proud of you. I'm sure there were a whole bunch of legal things that I didn't ask about that I broke. But don't worry, it all turned out well. We are going to our scripture text. Our scripture text continues to be Galatians as we continue to make our way through this amazing book about freedom. We are going to Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 12 through 31. If you're looking for Galatians in your Bible, you're going to the New Testament, which is the second third of the book. The first part of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. If you had Ephesians, Colossians, or Philippians, you've gone too far. See, Peter, you are way off, and you should just come back the other way. But we're going to Galatians chapter 4. Starting at verse 12, brothers, I entreat you because as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by slave woman and one by free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. The Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So Eugene Peterson starts off this chapter with a very easy to understand and experience that we have all had. Buying a car from a used car salesman. Ah, so you know this story. No. Oh, I see. Well, let me enlighten you. You go into a used car salesman's shop. He greets you with a very warm and welcoming smile. There's an espresso machine that you can help yourself to in the corner. The lights are bright. Everything seems perfect. He pulls around a shiny, very fabulous looking new to you vehicle. And you skip to it. Right? You go, yes, of course I'm going to buy this. Take all of my money. A month later, the engine makes noises. You return to this wonderful shop that greeted you so warmly, welcomed you in, treated you as a friend, wanted you to have everything that your heart desires, and they couldn't take 5 minutes to explain to you to go over to the repair store. You make it over there and you're treated like an inconvenience, like it was your fault. You pay more money They don't say thank you, nor do they welcome you back. This, I am afraid to say, is much of the human experience because we all are sinners. We look at other sinners, and in our heart of hearts, we ask, how are they going to benefit me? And when they stop benefiting me, then I move on to the next one. That's the hard truth that Paul is talking about, that he's pointing out to the Galatians. No one likes to hear that. I don't want to hear about myself. Do you want to hear about yourself? I don't. But I know it's true. I have to battle with myself all the time about church and about the desire to get more people to come. Why do I want more people? Well, I want more people so that I can do more stuff. Offer kids programs. Offer after-school programs. Offer nursery. I could do so much with so many more people, and think of what we could do with our budget. I have to battle that way more often than I want. Because that's treating people like a commodity, and that destroys trust. Jesus illustrates this when he advises his disciples that when you throw a dinner, you don't invite the wealthy and the rich to come to your dinner, because then the expectation is they're going to repay you. He says, instead, invite those you know can't repay you. Because then, in that moment, the sacrifice erodes our natural sinful tendency to break trust. And then to lock ourselves into slavery of control, which is an illusion, and self-preservation, which also is an illusion. So Paul uses the example here to illustrate the two differences that the Galatians are experiencing, that they sacrificed their freedom to trust. And those two situations are the situation that revolved around their initial meeting of Paul, and now the Judaizers, the experts, the teachers that have come in. In Paul's case, he points out, he said, I really had no intention of coming to you. You weren't on my list. I was just passing through, and had I not been sick, I wouldn't have even stopped. That's kind of insulting. Just a little bit. But it's necessary. Because what Paul is saying is, I really didn't have any intention of what God was doing. But I was trusting that he was doing something. And on the other side, he said, look, I was sick. I came to you sick. I did not come to you like the man at Areopagus, with the grand speeches and the powerful presence. He makes no mention of the Holy Spirit healing or people who were sick coming to him to be healed. Like, there's no mention of this. He came broken to a place that wasn't on his to-do list. He came offering nothing other than the gospel. And the Galatians expecting nothing, and Paul expecting nothing. found a beautiful relationship that God had for them. It was built on trust. Galatians weren't using Paul, and Paul wasn't using the Galatians. They were there together. Enter in then the Judaizers, and as Paul notes, he says, look, these guys are in it for themselves. They want the accolades. They want you dependent on them. They want you to bring to them your lives so that they may assess and say, yes, you're doing it right here, you're doing it right here, you're not doing it right there. But then there is no trust God, there is trust the experts and what they have to say about my life. And as we have experienced church family, regardless of the sphere of life, those experts fail us 100% of the time. So here's the hard truth. I'm going to fail you. It's 100% guaranteed. I'm coming to this broken and sick, needing new heart, new body, and a new perspective. We all come there that way, to the throne. We come sometimes, arm in arm, bringing our brokenness to God. And time again, He brings healing and wholeness. That's what He promises. That's what we look forward to. That's the easy statement to say on a Sunday morning in the middle of a sermon on free to trust God. But it is so hard to remember when the world crashes around us. When our expectations aren't met. When whatever crisis is in our life currently causes our life to spin out of control. Instead of on Sunday morning, we sing, look at what the Lord has done. We turn around on Monday morning and say, look at what you have done. And I understand the Galatians' desire, because I have the same desire. And that is to control the situation. Grace is dangerous and risky. Trust is dangerous and risky. If I can ensure that if I step into the relationship with God, declaring Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life this morning, then the rest of my life is going to be nothing but peaches and cream. Hallelujah. Let's sign me up. And I can hear the temptation of the Judaizers in their life saying, you know why you're suffering? You're not circumcised. You know why you're in crisis right now? because you don't follow all of the law. Oh, it is so tricksy, this business of trust. Because what they're saying is, you can't trust God to give you good things. You have to earn them. The only one you can trust is yourself. They would never say that out loud. Ever. You talk to an individual who is sold out to what the Galatian church was buying, and that is the self-righteousness of doing the law so that you might earn God's favor. They will never say that out loud, that you don't trust God to give you good things, you have to trust yourself to get them. That is exactly that relationship. So what is the alternative? Because that seems to be the really only solution sometimes. Amen? Paul says this is the solution. And he uses an allegory that has come under fire in academia as of these last decade or so. Two. But Paul does it, so I'm going to illustrate with it. Don't shoot the messenger. His allegory, taking a real story and using it to illustrate a spiritual truth, is this. Abraham, the hero of the faith. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Trusted God. Until he didn't. God said, I will give you an heir through Sarah. Abraham and Sarah heard, I will give you an heir. And they said, well, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And fair enough, it had been decades since the first promise. He was already old. Sarah was already beyond childbearing. Now they are really old. 99? Do you imagine having a kid at 99? And he thought it was a blessing. So what he did, what Sarah and Abraham did, they got together and they're like, okay, God said have an heir, so we're gonna do an heir. Here's Hagar. Oh, okay. God promised you good life. Do the law. This is the allegory that Paul is utilizing to help illustrate the difference. And so what do? We have to let go. We have to let go. And trust that God is going to do what he's going to do. And he's going to do it in his time. Does that mean we do nothing? Well, no, that doesn't mean that we do nothing. What it means is that we don't look at God's plan and go, oh yeah, God, don't worry, I got this. I'm going to execute this perfectly for you. We don't look at our lives and go, yes, Lord, I understand, as we do every Sunday, I am a sinner needing your forgiveness, but I can do better. No, you cannot. God has promised that he's going to transform your hearts. God has promised that he's going to transform your actions because he's transformed your hearts. He's promising to you this good work, and he's going to fulfill it to its end, its completion. This is what we trust God with every day. And it is not fast enough for me. Here's Hagar. That is nothing but trouble, congregation. Ishmael was nothing but trouble. Generations of nothing but trouble. Heartache. Dysfunctional family. Breakdown of relationships. When we don't trust God, we do it ourselves. We aren't free, congregation, any more than Hagar and Ishmael were free. We are slaves to ourselves. We are slaves to other people's opinions of us. We are slaves to the law. We are slaves to sin. So Paul calls the church that he loves the mistake. Mistake from his end, providential sovereignty, plan of God's. Church that he loves. Stop dwelling in that cold, dark, closed-in life. Mistrust, distrust, to the broad and a little scary expanse of grace and trust in God. That's freedom for us. To rest in knowing that God is going to will and to work in you what pleases him. To take a deep breath of free air and a sigh of relief as the bonds fall away. So that with certainty we can, like Tiernan said this morning, who do you trust, Tiernan? God. That was his first response. He's a great PK. I trust you, God. My circumstances aren't going to quantify or qualify that trust. I know you have every good thing for me. And I know I can rest in that. Would you join with me in prayer? Oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive us for the scars that we bear of broken trust through our lives. We allow to impact our relationship with you. And so we have lived a Hagar-Ishmael life, far from your presence, trying to earn your love. I don't like it. I don't think anyone likes it. So help us, Lord, live into the trust of you and the Isaac freedom. Thank you for your word, Lord, and the demonstration in it and in our lives of your faithful care of us. Holy Spirit, grow in us a trust in you. May you, Lord, continue to set us free. to your glory, to your praise forevermore. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning, Standing on the Promises. If you are able, please join with me in singing and standing as we sing the Standing on the Promises.
Love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.